I'm going to read a bit from the Bible. It's John chapter 10, and the words might be coming up on the screen. So Jesus, talking to his friend, said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Jesus is talking about sheep, but he's not really. He's talking about people. How many of you have ever got lost? I remember getting lost in a big shop when I was young, and I'm still working through the trauma of that moment. But Jesus notices that lots of people of all ages, men and women, as well as boys and girls, get lost. And that happens especially in a time of war, because people do, or are made to do, extraordinary, terrible things at times. Normally on a Sunday at 9:30 in this church, we have a service which we call Holy Communion. And all who love and trust in God are welcome to come forward, and they receive some bread, and then they receive some wine. And to do that, they hold out their hands, and then they receive this gift of bread and wine, because the church has got most things wrong over the years, but for the last 2,000 years, we've got that right. Jesus said, "I want you to keep on remembering me, and I want you to take bread and wine to remember the sacrifice that I'm making." But one of the things I've noticed as people come up to the front here, they hold out their hands. Human hands are funny things. They're almost as strange as toes. And I've done a bit of a survey on hands that I've seen. Some people, their nails are so long and well manicured, and others are bitten. If you bite your nails, no shame. Don't feel bad about it. It's bad to bite other people's nails, I think. But, you know, there's no shame here today. But some nails are clean and some are dirty. Some, the skin is really smooth, and others it's rough because of the work they've done. Some fingers are so dainty, and others are more like a bunch of sausages or something. I mean, they're strong and thick, and some are very frail and wrinkled, and others have a firm grip. Some are soft and some are scarred. Just have a look at your hands. I wonder if you appreciate this extraordinary gift of your hands. They're truly amazing. The fact that we can have opposing digits, it's a pretty big deal. And as I look at my hands, and I did wash today, so we're okay, I can also see some scars. Because when I was 11, I had an accident and I cut down there. And I can still see it. How many of you have got a scar on your hand and you know where to locate it? Okay, probably about a third of the people here. And I also got a burn there. No one else would know it, but I remember it. I had an accident and broke a bone there. Still a bit wonky. How many of you have ever broken a finger? Your own or someone else's? Okay. Somehow our hands tell a little microscopic story of our whole lives. It shows one element. And I think about our hands as people hold them out for communion. Our hands can be used for so much good, but also so much harm. A hand can throw a grenade or be reached out to shake someone else's hand. It can make a fist or it can caress someone who's afraid. And a finger can pull a trigger or it can dial a telephone so you can express love to someone, or it can hold a mug or play a beautiful piece of music. How many of you could use your fingers to play music? I mean, that, just think. So that's just one way of using our hands. Some are beautiful and awesome, and some are less good. From the same hands come beauty and terror. In the opening verse of our Bible reading, Jesus is talking about a thief. A thief comes only to steal, using light-fingered, gets his fingers to steal, to nick what other people own. And fighting and warfare, any kind of conflict, actually robs people, sometimes of their life, but also of hopes and dreams and livelihoods. But Jesus then goes on to talk about himself as a good shepherd to round up people who've got lost. And he says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And then Jesus talks about his hands. And he says, my sheep listen to my voice. And I know them, they follow me, they'll never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And so Jesus is saying, if people will say, yes, you are my good shepherd, and come to him, he won't let go. He's got strong hands. When my children were young, we lived by a very busy road, and they had to cross the road to get to school, and I would hold their hand long after they wanted me to let go. I remember it so vividly. They're 16. Now, I mean, even when they were stronger than me, I just know what they're like, and I wanted to care for them. And long after they would let go, I would hold on. And my faith in God is, sometimes it's quite strong on a good day, but it's not always a good day. My faith is that God is strong, and he holds on to me long after I would have let go. He is the good shepherd. Sometimes people say their story of faith and say, I found God, and I think, well, I didn't know he was lost. It's always God finds us when we are lost. That's my life experience. And so this Remembrance Sunday, I want to ask us all two simple questions. How are we going to use our hands? In the Bible, to bless, people stretched out their hands. They took a risk. They'd stretch out to others to bestow blessing. I was taught to put my hands together to pray. I don't think you have to do that, especially if you're driving. Don't try that. But being intentional, choosing to try to connect with God, the God who's longing to connect with us. How will we use our hands? Will we be part of the problem or part of the solution? How we could use our hands creatively and lovingly this week to write a message, to bake a cake, to pick up the phone, shake a hand, open a door, give access for someone else. So how will you use your hands? And secondly, Jesus said, we can be safely in his hands. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And I wonder if you're feeling you can open your hands to him, or whether you're shaking a fist at God. Sometimes when bad things have happened to us, or we've done bad things, we think God won't have anything to do. But God says, no, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll refresh you. He holds out his hands to us, and he wants us to be in relationship with him. So are you opening your hand to God? And if you're not sure what that means, to be in relationship with God, do talk to me or to Mary, and I've got some little booklets that explain how to be in relationship with God. And especially on the 30th of November, in a couple of weeks' time, we're having our special morning services are to help people connect and know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We'd love you to come along and enjoy that. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." And so what we're going to do now is sing a couple of songs, and they're actually songs of hope, because even though war is a terrible thing, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has gone before us and invites us into relationship with him in life and in death and for resurrection. If you find you know the song, do join in. If you don't know the song, still join in and you'll just get it wrong. It'll be fine though. So let's all stand. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to silence.
Take a seat. And I think it's one of the foundations of the Christian faith, and that's why we love singing about Jesus so much and what he went through and what he suffered, and then that he died and then rose again, is that we believe there is another narrative to the one that we can see most obviously in front of us, and that is our Christian hope that we just love singing about. We're going to come now to a time of prayer when we just recognise the brokenness that we have in this world, in ourselves, in our relationships with one another. So let us confess to God the brokenness and shortcomings of the world, its pride, its selfishness, its greed. Let us confess our share in what is wrong and our failure to seek that peace which God wills for all his children. And so we pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to change what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you just keep that screen on just for 1 second longer? Thank you, Maura. Because it talks there kind of about a journey, doesn't it? So to forgive what we have been, help us to change what we are, and then direct what we shall be. And I think that also sums up another foundation stone, as it were, of the Christian hope, that actually our past doesn't define us. We're able, through God's help, through his transformation on our lives, to change what we are and to direct our future. And so we're going to come now to our act of remembrance. And we're going to hear some words, but we're also going to have that 2 minutes of silence. And so sometimes we don't always know what to do with that silence, do we? We live in a very busy world with lots of noise going on, and 2 minutes can sometimes seem quite a long time. But it's good just to take a break from that noise and just to stop and think. And maybe some of us will be thinking about friends, colleagues, family who have died in conflict, in war. For some of us, we might not know anybody personally, and so we will be thinking with a kind of more general thankfulness that we are able to live in relative freedom in this country. And so perhaps for some of us too, we might just want to think of things that we are thankful for. And maybe we can just use that time to remember when somebody did something nice for us. So all sorts of things can go on in this 2 minute silence. But I wonder if you would stand now as the wreath and poppy bearers come forward, and then we will process to the pillar of remembrance, which is over there, and maybe you would like to turn round and face that pillar as we process there.